The scripture lesson today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, the many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. And now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, what a weird occasion this is. Y'all haven't seen the lights flickering while we've been carrying on in here. The heat is definitely off. It's getting cold in the sanctuary. But we're going to carry on. And I'm just appreciative of my colleagues here joining me and working hard to have this worship together. We've got Winter Storm Izzy that's coating all the surfaces out there in ice. And then we got Omicron, the COVID new variant that is wreaking havoc in businesses and schools and hospitals, families. And this is a good morning, I think, to stay home and just go to pajama church. I hope you're enjoying it. We have a number of churches in the area that are not open today, and so we know y'all are joining with us to listen. I hope you'll join at 3 o'clock. That kind of changes what this sermon usually is about, because most of the time when you're preaching on the famous body of Christ passage that Paul wrote, most preachers, and I've done it too, we preach to our church, to our congregation only. And we say, see, you need to get involved. You need to be on a committee. There are opportunities here for you. But it seems like now with a lot of churches that are involved and listening today, we need to think about the body of Christ as our brothers and sisters who are in all kinds of churches and are everywhere. This week I went to get my blood drawn up at Pinehurst Medical, and just like fast food or like anything else, they are understaffed, and it is very, very slow. And so I went in there, and, you know, they're trying to keep a seat between everybody, but there's just too many people, you know, and there are people who are hacking and everything. And I had on my N95 mask and sat down beside a woman, and I was kind of leaning hard away from her. And it was pretty miserable. And it seemed like they would bring a couple of people in about every 20 minutes, and then it would take forever for them to come back out. And so it took a long time. And so people started striking up conversations. And there were two older men who ended up sitting near each other. And somehow the conversation got on their military service, and they found out they'd both been to Vietnam. And one said he didn't care much for Vietnam, but he liked later on that he was in Germany. He was stationed in Germany. He thought they were great people. And the other guy said, you know, I went to Vietnam too, and after my time was over, I wasn't about to go back. And instead, I just started drinking and doing drugs and chasing women. And then I got in a car wreck that killed two of my buddies. And he said, it was that night that I found Jesus Christ. And he, right there in that waiting room, gave his testimony about finding Jesus Christ. And I thought, you know, that's really remarkable, because in a way, yeah, he was sort of preachy, but in another way, he was saying what happened in his life. And, you know, whatever I felt earlier about trying to lean away from him, maybe, I felt like, well, there's part of the body of Christ right there. There's a guy who is my brother in Christ, and is part of this body that's all over the place, not just in a sanctuary or a congregation. It's all over the place. And that's what I think we need to talk about today when we're talking about the body of Christ, because I know we got folks listening all over this area in Scotland County, but I know also we got people listening in several states from different denominations. And here's something that I want us to start with, okay? And it was in the New York Times. It was an op-ed in the New York Times just a few days ago, January 13th, by a guy named David Brooks. And I'm just going to read some of it to you. He said, in June, a statistic floated across my desk that startled me. In 2020, the number of miles Americans drove fell 13% because of the pandemic. But the number of traffic deaths rose 7%. I couldn't figure it out. Why would Americans be driving so much more recklessly during the pandemic? But then in the first half of 21, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, motor vehicle deaths were up to 18.4% over 2020. Contributing factors, according to the agency, included driving under the influence, speeding, and failure to wear a seatbelt. Why are so many Americans driving irresponsibly? And he goes on to say, not only is reckless driving on the rise, but the number of altercations on airplanes has exploded. The murder rate is surging in cities. Drug overdoses are increasing. Americans are drinking more. Nurses say patients are getting more abusive, and so on and so on. Schools have seen an increase in minor incidents like students talking in class, and more serious issues such as fights and gun possession. In Dallas, disruptive classroom incidents have tripled this year. Hate crimes are at the highest level in 12 years. The number of gun purchases has soared, an 80% year-over-year spike. The Americans' hostility toward one another seems to be growing. Their care for one another seems to be falling. A study from Indiana University's Lilly Family School of Philanthropy found that the share of Americans who give to charity is steadily declining. In 2000, 66.2% of households made a charitable contribution, but by 2018, only 49% did. The share who gave to religious causes dropped as worship service attendance did, but the share of households who gave to secular causes also hit a new low at 42%. But something darker and deeper seems to be happening as well a long-term loss, this is interesting, of solidarity, a long-term rise in estrangement and hostility. This is what it feels like to live in a society that is dissolving from the bottom up as much as from the top down. Some of our poisons must be sociological, the fraying of social fabric. The U.S. right now has the highest rate of children living in single-parent households. And this is the way he concludes this article. He says, but there must also be some spiritual or moral problem at the core of this. Over the past several years and over a wide range of different behaviors, Americans have been acting in fewer pro-social and relational ways and in more antisocial and self-destructive ways. But why? As a columnist, I'm supposed to have some answers, but I just don't right now. I just know the situation is dire. And that's David Brooks. And the title of the column was, America is Falling Apart at the Seams. And it struck me as I read that, and then I had this scripture today, that maybe the problem can somewhat, we can do something about it, if we can perceive ourselves correctly as the body of Christ. Sort of like I did that day in the waiting room, as I realized that guy who I was avoiding now was actually a brother in Christ. And it comes down to the image of the body of Christ that Paul gives in this letter to the Corinthians. There were rich and poor, educated and uneducated, healthy people and sick people, strong and weak. As he says, there's Jews and Greeks, slave and free. There were a lot of different kinds of people in there. And I want to emphasize, it's a long scripture, but I just want to emphasize a couple of these verses. Start with verse 14. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the healing be? Hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. So the first point is that the body does not consist of one member, but many. And that is the essence of the body of Christ. There are many different people with varieties of gifts, worldviews, talents. The body of Christ is Democrats and Republicans. Remember, I did a sermon called The Purple Church. It's not blue or red, it's purple. The body of Christ includes people with illnesses, and it includes people who are well. God wants to use everybody. And as verse 18 says, he chose us. Okay, and the second point I think you can make in this, not only is the body not one member but many, but you can't say, because you aren't like everyone else, that you don't belong in the body of Christ. You do belong. The way you are different is essential to the body of Christ. There are things for you to do that nobody else can do. Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body? No. Because I'm not healthy? No. You belong. Because I'm not 100%? No. You belong. Because I'm not wealthy? Because I don't know the Bible? Because I cuss? Because I drink? No. God wants you to be part of the body of Christ, and using your gifts, the things that you are able to do, your experiences that nobody else has, you are that perfect combination that nobody else has for this world. And remember what Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And part of being the salt of the earth is being a preservative. Salt preserves. You're the light of the world. And it means that as the body of Christ, we need to do things differently than everyone else. We need to not have those arguments in supermarkets and on airplanes. We need to prefer other people rather than insisting on ourselves getting what we want. That's what being salt is. That's what being light is. And you are part of the body of Christ, and you can do that. Okay, so the body doesn't consist of one, but of many. You can't say you aren't like everyone because you're not like everyone else that you belong to Christ. And the third thing is, you can't say because you aren't as good at something as somebody else that you don't belong to the body of Christ. And this is something that, you know, it affects me a lot of times, you know, because I see a lot of other people that do things so much better than I do. And I wonder, you know, man, I wonder what it's like to be like them. And yet, you know, we're in this kind of perfectionistic kind of society where if we can't do it the best, then why do it? If we can't be the best, then why do it? And that is not part of the body of Christ. You know, it's like we say, okay, if I can't be that ear, I don't want to be it. I don't want to be a foot. I want to be the ear. And if I can't be the ear, then I'm not going to do anything. And, you know, even last night, I found this wonderful video of Michael McDonald playing piano and singing. And Michael McDonald, I don't know if you remember, he was a pop artist, but he also sang with the Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes, and he sang with Steely Dan. He's the voice where it goes, Peg! And anyway, Michael McDonald's great, and he's a great piano player too. And this was just, I think he set up his phone, maybe, in his garage, and he had a keyboard and a mic, and that's all he had. And it was just raw. It was nothing to cover up anything, and it was so good. And I have these friends that are musicians that I text with, and there's Jack Miller and Jim Green and Pharaoh Hit. And so on that group text, I texted this after I was so blown away by that video. I said, every once in a while, you see a guy about your age who dresses like you, sings songs in a microphone, and plays piano with both hands like you do. And then you realize you will never, ever even sniff the ability he has. And I put the connection to the video I'd seen. And then Jim Green came back and said, yeah, he's pretty awesome, but you still got to do it like you want to do it. And I said, ha ha, yeah, but darn, he is so solid just doing this in his garage or something. And then Jim Green said this, and this is so good. He said, yeah, he's a freak of nature and amazing, but still, you just got to do what you do. Otherwise, you're not doing anything at all. You just got to do what you do. That's what it is. You know, and I play piano at a certain level, but I'm not going to ever play like Michael McDonald. But I got to do what I do. I got to serve God in the way that God has given me the ability to do. And so do you. And it may be something else. It may be you're great at writing cards. It may be great at affirming people or thinking about people or phone calling people or checking up on people. It may be baking. It may be sending people stuff. Whatever it is that you do, you got to do what you do. And not worry that you're not the foot or not the eye or not the ear. You got to do what you do, because otherwise you're not going to do anything at all. I had another musician friend, Jimmy O'Neill, who I've talked about, who played with me for 4 years. He was a great musician, and his day job was as a recording engineer in a studio in Atlanta. And he had a group of musicians, and they were all wonderful musicians, studio musicians, all of them. And they had this thing where they wanted to give back and not get paid to play. And so they formed a busking band. Do you know what a busker is? A busker is, you see them like in the cities where they're like playing in a park with a guitar case open and people throwing, you know, dollar bills in there. That's a busker. They're in the subway sometime. They're in train stations. And they intentionally put together this busking band of studio musicians. And they named the band Widespread Hispanic. That was the name of the band. Like Widespread Panic is Widespread Hispanic. And they would pick a city like Chicago, get all the permits, and at their own expense, go to that city and play for a weekend as buskers. And, you know, they'd have the case open just because that's what you do as a busker. But it was not about the little bits of change people threw in. It was about giving back with their talent. And that's what I think everybody's got to figure out. Yeah, it's great to get a paycheck. It's great to get a paycheck. God is really appreciative of you working and getting a paycheck. But you need to also use your talent for somebody else, not to get paid, to do it because you're giving back. God has gifted you with that, and you're part of the body of Christ in the world doing what God has called you to do. Just like that guy, you know, the guy, I keep coming back to the guy in the Pioneers Medical waiting room giving that testimony. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing, you know, because nobody was saying anything, and it was kind of like church right there. And I didn't say a word to him. You know, they called my name and I went in. But I thought about, you know, that is somebody who is being a Christian everywhere he is and is being a part of the body of Christ in the world. And so I think what this boils down is, you know, God chose us. God gifted you in a certain way. And you need to do what you do. And I need to do what I do. It's just part of being the body of Christ. And if America is falling apart of the seams, and Christians are supposed to be the salt that preserves and the light, then we need to use our gifts, what we are in the body of Christ, out in the world with each other, treating other people like children of God, treating other people with respect, because God has chosen them too, just like he's chosen us. I'm going to close with two quotes about what we're called to do. And the first one is one I probably quote it 3 or 4 times a year, and that's okay. You really should quote this 3 or 4 times a year. And it's from Frederick Buechner, and it's his Understanding of Vocation. And I'm just going to read the whole thing, because usually I just kind of read the last two lines, but this is just really good. The word vocation comes from the Latin vocare, to call. And it means the work a person is called to by God. There are all kinds of different voices calling you to all different kinds of work. And the problem is to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this. The kind of work God calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world needs most to have done. If you really get a kick out of your work, you've presumably met requirement A, but if your work is writing TV deodorant commercials, the chances are you've missed requirement B. On the other hand, if your work is being a doctor in a leper colony, you probably met requirement B, but if most of the time you're bored or depressed by it, the chances are you have not only bypassed A, but probably aren't helping your patients much either. Neither the hair shirt nor the soft berth will do. And this is the line right here, y'all. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And if America's falling apart at the seams, we need to be able to respond to God's call. That's the world's deep hunger. And find that thing that gives us gladness and do it and be salt and light in our world. And I'm going to close with this. This is not as familiar. This is by Amy Starr Redwine. Nothing is wasted. Everything, even the things you think of as your most colossal failures or your deepest regrets, everything is something God can and will use. God calls every one of us, no matter how ordinary or unqualified we think we might be. Our job is to decide how to answer God's invitation. So here we are in pajama church, cuddled up in a blanket, and America's falling apart. And how will you answer God's invitation? Seriously, how will you answer it? What will you do? How will you be different tomorrow, this week, in a way that shows that you're part of the body of Christ and there's nobody like you? There's nobody like you, whether you're sick or well, weak or strong. There's nobody like you, and God wants to use you. Let's pray together. Lord, give us vision. Help us to see what you're calling us to. Help us to see how you've gifted us and how it's special, even if it doesn't seem to be special, even if there are people who are better than us. Help us to lean on you as our good friend. Take everything to you that comes up in prayer. And be a part of your body every day of our lives as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.